CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
And welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? Well, again, if you got a question, perhaps you've sat through a service and you're saying, where is this guy coming from? Or woman? Hey, give us a call. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. We've got some lines open, so you're sure to get on if you call right now. Again, 888-ASK-CSN, toll free, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here, we have with us Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi, and welcome.
Great to be on with you again today, Mike. What a glorious day it is to share the gospel with somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, everybody needs Jesus, and every day presents a whole new set of opportunities to reach people and let your light shine. Yeah, I told people, I said, you know, Jesus said we're salt and light. Concerning light, we want to be noisy little sunbeams. We just do. You know, so anyway, Greg, what's going on? What's going on in South Dakota?
Well, I didn't get a chance to share with you yesterday, but we had talked, you and I had talked about the Christian Music Festival that we have in Rapid City every year. Hills Alive, usually the third week of July every year, come out for that. But we get to oversee the children's and the family ministry tents. So we're sharing the gospel with kids and parents and doing balloon animals and face painting and gospel bracelets. Well, that's a very, very long weekend for our team. We probably have, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 volunteers, and everybody's taking 2 hour shifts.
How many people go to this?
25,000 or so over the weekend. And
wow,
people are coming. Yeah, people are coming from all over the area, from Colorado, from North Dakota, from Montana, from Wyoming.
Well, they'll be coming.
Iowa,
they'll be coming
Nebraska.
They'll be coming from Twin Falls,
from Idaho,
next year.
Yeah,
we'll be
there. Yeah,
because we're gonna go to that. I think that's gonna be a really neat thing. If we're all still here, if the Lord hasn't come and take His church home, hey, I plan on going to South Dakota next, Rapid City.
That would be beautiful. We'll make you feel love. Come and teach. Hey, and I was gonna tell you that back to back. So that's what we had. Two weekends ago, last weekend, just a couple of days ago, we had an opportunity to do another outreach with Will Graham, you know, Billy Graham's grandson. He did a celebration here. It's kind of like a mini Harvest Crusade. He did a celebration here in September and made some great contacts with the folks on the reservations here, Pine Ridge and Rosebud. So over the weekend, our team was once again out at Pine Ridge Reservation, which I think is the second largest Native American reservation in the country. And then Rosebud, and he came out and shared the gospel. It was a wonderful time. People came to the Lord. And just a reminder that Jesus loves everybody, and He wants everybody to come to Him. Doesn't delight in the death of any man. He wants all to come to repentance, and that none would perish. So make the most of every opportunity, Mike.
Amen.
Because the days are evil.
Amen. And that's what we're told by the Lord. And so we want to be very much aware of it. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones again. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We got a couple lines open. Let's go to Linda in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. How are you today?
Good. How may we help?
I have something to tell you all about, and I heard about this on the morning show here locally. It's a Christian gentleman runs it, and it's on our local FM station where we get, you know, lots of programs like Sean Hannity and all those people. Anyway, there is a, on the CDC website, they may have taken it down. Maybe people know about it enough now, but there is a link on the CDC website, which is called Q Chat Space. Okay. If you go there, if a kid goes there, it's for children, by the way, they go to that link and it talks about all this horrible stuff, the LGBTQ things, and all these gross things that schools are indoctrinating them with. And there's a button at the bottom of that link where if the parent comes in and sees the kid on the computer, they can push that button real quick and they'll go to Google homepage like they weren't there, you know? Wow. And it's deliberately set up on purpose to hide, to get the kids indoctrinated even when they're not in school.
Oh, I know. I know. It's everywhere. You know, I mean, Linda, we look at this and we realize what is good is evil. Evil is good. I don't care how much lipstick you put on it. Evil's still evil. And they're doing their very best to in some way trying to change the very nature of humanity. But it isn't going to work, of course. And again, when we understand that God brings judgment on nations for ungodliness, not just because it was the Hebrews and they had a relationship with God, but no, God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, God, not a Hebrew nation. God brought judgment on the nations in the Promised Land, the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, all those that were out there. God brought judgment on them for their wickedness. And I believe that, again, I like what Billy Graham said about 20 years ago. He said, if God doesn't judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Hey, listen, when you look at the gay parades or parading down the street, some naked, and you look at this and you go, oh, and this is normal life. This is their freedom. You know, the thing is, there's responsibility in freedom. And this is one of the things that they don't want to recognize. And again, we're not moral because, well, it's good or bad, because God says this is what will bring a judgment. Read Romans chapter 1. It's very clear. And Linda, you know, when we talk about this indoctrinating our children, they got the pedal to the metal to the public schools. I don't allow my kids to go to public schools because I know what their game is. Really, when it comes right down to it, you know, they talk about the SAT scores that are tanking and, oh, the schools need more money. Oh, if they had more money, they could do it. So let's have gambling. I mean, lotteries, and we'll take the profits and give it to the schools so they'll have more money. You know what the problem with that is? Look at the SAT scores 40 years ago. Hey, listen, they smoke all of everybody graduating today from high school. So when we come to understand it isn't money that's needed in the school, it's a reality of God in the school. Isn't it amazing? They took the Ten Commandments, they got prayer out of the school in 1962. You know, the Democrats, they work for it and they got it. Now we have guns in the school and murder in the school and all these things. Oh, Democrats, you've done a fabulous job with the school system. Yeah, before, yeah, the big problems in 1960, 61, chewing gum in school, you know, talking in class. Now it's mowing kids down. Now it's fights with knives. Now it's every crazy thing imaginable. Oh, but we got prayer out of the schools, the Democrats will tell you. They did. And what replaced it was hell. So yeah, all I can tell you, Linda, is it's far reaching. I don't believe it's going to get better. I believe it's going to get worse because the Bible says it will do this. And again, I tell people everywhere, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, you know, Linda, thank you for bringing this topic up because every time I turn on the TV and I see something that I said, well, that makes absolutely no common sense, especially when it comes to genders, because there's an XX and an XY period. That's science. And what we have to remind people is that both theology and biology agree that they are created male and female. So what that does with me, it gives me compassion when I see something like that going on. It breaks my heart, and it makes me pray to the Lord to give me opportunity to be able to try and chat with these people. You know, we're living in an age, you probably heard about this, Mike, I'm sure you know, that in California, they passed a bill or they're attempting to pass a bill that every toy store needs to have a gender neutral aisle. We know that Disney is not the Disney that it was when I was growing up, and they have a sexual agenda for 2 to 7 year olds. We know that we're living in a time when there's church denominations that have transgender day, and doctors today, they're saying that you have to guess if it's going to be a boy or a girl, and we're living in crazy town, which should drop us to our knees and prayer for them and for the body of Christ, that we would stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not compromise, speak the truth in love, and take the persecution that may come with that, but know that we are well pleasing to the Lord.
Amen. Mike? You're going to serve somebody. Linda, I hope that helps.
Right. Can I say one more thing real quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. Pointing out something real fast about gas prices. You know, they claim the gas is going down. Well, it is. But you know why it's going down is because people are driving less because they can't afford it. And the second thing is, today they took out 20 million more barrels of the strategic oil reserve to sell to other countries.
Oh, I know. This is insane. That strategic oil reserve is reserved for war only. Biden doesn't follow any rules.
They're selling it to China.
The whole thing is the most lawless group of people I've ever seen. I thought it was interesting. They said they don't want to go into Hunter Biden's laptop, which indicts Joe Biden, because it's an election year. But boy, look what they're doing to Donald Trump on January 6th. And they won't let any Republicans come in and tell their side of the story. This is a kangaroo court, absolutely, without a doubt. But the real criminal, let's look at Hunter Biden's laptop, everybody. This is what everybody needs to see. That'll tell you how corrupt what we already know. Now, remember, the gas prices were already about $4 plus a gallon before Russia invaded the Ukraine. They're trying to blame this on Russia. No, 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 no. You can't get away with that, Joe. We're not going to let you. No, you shut down the Keystone Pipeline. You spent, so far, if he passes this $1.75 trillion student loan forgiveness, you think you have bad problems right now with inflation? So far, in just 18 months, Joe Biden has spent more trillions of dollars than the other presidents in their entire presidency, plus. In just 18 months, if he signs this thing, which they think he's going to do in the next day or so, he will have spent $9.25 trillion, which completely devalues your dollar. Mom, Dad, all your hard-earned money that you put in the bank for your retirement, bye-bye, all gone. This is what he's doing. He is destroying, absolutely destroying the whole infrastructure of our country. Then when you have 4 million illegal aliens coming in, taking over houses that people that are graduating from high school would like to buy, all gone. Please, United States military, do something. We're being invaded. We have somebody out of control that's running our country. And to just keep spending money is going to tank us. And friends, when the world goes off the petrodollar, that's right, all oil is traded in dollars. When that changes, watch what's going to happen to your money and your economy. It's going to go through the floor. It's already through the floor right now. They're scared to death of the next group of statistics coming out to determine whether or not we're going into a recession or stagflation or all these kinds of things. Friends, we're beyond that. The only reason they're saying it's 9% inflation right now is because they changed the way they figure it. If you go back 20, 30 years, the way they figured inflation then, we're at over 15% inflation right now. The biggest amount since 1948. So yeah, your savings are evaporating as we speak. And when they sign this thing, man, it's going to probably add at least another 3 or 4 points to inflation. You can't just keep printing money with nothing to back it up. There's nothing, nothing out there. It's all just funny money. So, oh, my friends, we need to pray. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Thanks, dear, so much for the call. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Randy, Kingman, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike and Craig. Totally, man, don't get me started on the politics. Every day when I hear you go off on it, I'm totally 100% agreeing with you. And it's nice to hear a preacher and a believer speak truthfully as you do. I just wish these students would refuse to take the money, you know.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah, but a Christian, wouldn't it be awesome to hear some Christians stand up and say, you know what, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to take this money. But hey, my question is. And I'm up in the hills. I got my radio off, but I'm up in the hills in Kingman, Arizona. And I listen to you a lot. I talked to you one other time. I've never talked to Craig. But when I moved down here to Kingman, everybody carries guns. This is a rough town, man. It's a rough little town. I've had a pretty good life. And 5 years ago when I retired, man, I retired out of the prison business, and that was safe compared to living here. Shots fired, murders, people in jail around me. I've gotten fist fights, and they just think I'm a rat type of thing. So I went through some tough times, and I'm a 61-year-old guy, but I'm all alone. I got nobody. And it was like 30 on one. And I was reading the Bible. I was going to church, praying every day, doing the right thing, you know, the real deal. Giving my money. I give my money to this local Calvary radio station here, all my tithing. And all of a sudden, God started talking to me through dreams, visions. I saw stuff. I dreamt stuff. And he spoke to me words like a few times. And I heard a call a while back, and it was, can the devil or the demons know our thoughts? And when I went through this supernatural stuff, it always, when the roughest time, when I needed God the most, he was there for me, and he was showing me stuff, and I was like, I had to test the spirit. I was like freaking out. I'm like, well, is that from you, God? And I started thinking about it, and I'd read the whole Bible over and over and over, and I thought, I used the examples of like Job and others, you know, Peter and all many other believers, but Judas, you know, yeah, he was possessed, but he was probably a non-believer. But what I'm getting at is I saw no evidence in the Bible where the devil knows our thoughts. Yeah, he's been around 1,000 years and he knows our every move. He watches us. But so when I was testing the spirit, God, is this from you? Is what I see right now. He was warning me. He was showing me guns and stuff and showing me signs and dreams, detailed stuff. And I'm like, God, is this from you? And I thought, well, I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, God, is this from you? And if you don't answer me, I'm going to assume it's from you. So that leads up to the question is, do you think God knows, the devil or his demons know our thoughts? And I know they're knowledgeable. I'm just thinking they don't know our thought. The believer, I don't think that he knows our thoughts. What do you say?
It doesn't matter. Now you say, wait a minute, what do you mean? Well, if you go to the book of Job, remember, we belong to Jesus. When you gave your life to Christ, we belong to God. Now, Satan's got a lot of years, millennia of studying human nature, how we think, how we respond, all these things. The demonic world hates human beings, and we find that all the way through the Bible. That's why when a person becomes demon possessed, they're suicidal as the man in Gadara was, cutting himself and being bound with chains and supernatural strength and all these kinds of things. But we have to remember the devil is still God's devil. And the devil can only do to a believer what God allows the devil to do. We base this upon solely upon, as an example, the book of Job. And he had Job, Satan had to ask permission what he could do to Job. He just couldn't start hammering in on him. It was only what God allowed him to do. God knowing that through it all, that Job would be victorious, and also that God would bless Job for what he went through. People say, well, what about his kids? We remember that his kids evidently were not believers in some way, because it says that Job offered sacrifices for his children. Well, we all know that it's a personal relationship with God, not what your mom and dad do for you. And we remember they were all partying down when a wind came up and the roof caved in and killed them all. When we're outside of the protection of God, when we're not a believer, I believe the sky's the limit, what I think the devil can do to a human being. But when we become born again, not only do we have heaven to look forward to and a Savior who loves us and our sins are forgiven and our past doesn't hammer us anymore, but we also have supernatural protection from this demonic world, the devil and his demons. And yes, they're real. The devil is alive on the planet Earth. But I want to tell you this, so is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what seals us and protects us. And we have to remember the devil cannot do, even if he can read our minds, he cannot do anything to us unless the Father allows us. We are God's property. And again, the book of Job is very clear about this. Jesus said, rejoice not that you have power over the devil, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus was conveying to us, when our name is written in the book of life, we are divinely, supernaturally protected. And again, I think that's the greatest thing of all. So yeah, is it possible for the devil to know what we want to do or whatever? I believe it is. But he can't do anything unless the Father allows it. Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, first, Randy, want to commend you that you're doing Bible 101.
Amen.
And you are testing the spirits, right? Because we're told, John tells us in 1 John 4:1, don't believe every spirit, because he's a pretty good counterfeiter and he can make his voice sound like the Lord's voice. So you're very wise, Randy, to be able to test the spirits. What we have to remember is that our God is omnipotent and he is omniscient. Omniscient means that he is all-knowing. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan and his demons are fallen angels, and yet we can't underestimate that the Bible says that they do have power. But at the same time, we just need to remember that reading our minds, Mike, that's kind of a tough one. I'm trying to think of a biblical example of that, and maybe you have one. I can't think of one, but I can tell you this, Randy. The devil is an incredible studier of mankind, and he has been watching us for millennia, and he has seen tens of billions of men and women. So if there's anybody who has the odds down better than those in Las Vegas, it's the devil. He knows that he can tempt us, right? He can tempt us with whatever the temptation du jour is, and he probably has it down to 99.9% of the time being correct, just based on mankind's previous decisions. So my encouragement is, like what Pastor Mike said, don't focus on the devil. Focus on God, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, great question. I would say no. I don't believe the devil can read our thoughts. I just don't.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus does, because oftentimes the Bible will say, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts." would respond in a certain way. But you don't find the devil with that kind of clairvoyance at all. And I think anything that would appear to be that really comes from just observation of 6,000 years of human beings and anticipating a move in a certain direction. But when we're led by the Spirit, as you all know, we don't necessarily follow a set predetermined way. God moves us around. And even Paul said that, this is what I want to do. But, you know, if God changes it, you know, I'm flexible. We want to remember that, you know, well, the Bible says man makes his plan, but God directs his steps. And so we want to be real careful that we don't become paralyzed by, oh, I said something out loud and the devil heard it. Now he's going to go and make something really bad. No, that is the Bible. Again, read the book of Job. Satan can't do whatever he wants. And so hope that helps.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike and Craig.
Good. Well, Randy, God bless you. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I'm going to send you a book called Transforming Word by Tony Evans, who was on our program a couple of weeks ago. Gave me some gifts for everybody. And so I want to send that out to you as well for calling in today. And again, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Let's go to Jim, Lakeview, Oregon. Hi and welcome.
Hello, pastors. Hey, wonderful program. In regards to your last caller, I always had a question of it. Did Judas know that Satan had entered him? Where the Bible clearly states that that's what happened. But then later he had remorse. He tried to give the money back to the religious leaders. And then he committed suicide. But you see, he had remorse, but he didn't follow God's plan.
Well, so he didn't seek
the
forgiveness.
Human remorse was worthless.
Yeah, he was sorry. So was Peter. You know, Peter denied the Lord three times and went out and wept bitterly. But he didn't seek forgiveness. Forgiveness was there for Judas Iscariot, just like it was for Peter. It's just that Judas didn't want that. Hey, we're coming up on a break. Jim, don't go away. Everybody else will be back for more right after this.
It's true. Whether you're flying or staying at a hotel, whatever, usually if you want great first-class customer service, you have to pay more. Right? Just makes sense. But amazingly, it's not so when it comes to how you pay for your healthcare bills. MediShare is way less expensive and people rave about the customer service. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rate. That's double the rate of typical health insurance. It's just a different experience entirely. MediShare is not for profit and it's highly innovative. It just works. So you get an upgrade, and it costs so much less. The typical family saves $500 a month when they switch. You might save even more. And MediShare has grown to more than 400,000 members now. People who look at first-class customer service or big savings and say, why not both? Call now. They are great to talk to. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
You're dialed into the Christian Satellite Network. We're broadcasting on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Carolina. You can listen while in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Eden, the Winston-Salem area, and many more great cities throughout North and South Carolina. To find your closest station, log online to csnradio.com, and you can listen live 24/7 worldwide. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Welcome back, everyone, to part two of Every Man an Answer on this Wednesday afternoon with Greg Blanc from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we have Jim on the line. And Jim, back to your question, how can we help?
Yes, sir. My question stems from something I heard from the Bona Survey Group saying that junior high, middle school years were like a giant spiritual fork in the road. And that's often the time period when young people make a decision either for Christ or for the world. They're dazzled by the world. And it starts out small and just grows. But you see, to me, and he's talking about people that are really from church families that have grown up in the church, and those people that decide to turn away, that's like lost, stolen. Those kids should belong to us, and it's just Satan doing his work. So my question to you, to both of you, is how can we sharpen the possibility of spiritual growth and maturity of those? What is the most effective method? And I just want to throw another thing out there because I've been asking this question. There was a man, he was in charge of a summer camp church group, and he was a grade school teacher, third grade, during the school years. And then all summer, he directed a camp that has this fabulous spiritual outreach, and many kids came to the Lord. And so I went to talk to him. I said, listen, I've been teaching middle school all year, and I didn't lead a single child to the Lord. What, I need some help. What's going on? And then he began to tell me, he said, I would trade a year of Sunday school for a week of church camp because I get the kids away from their phones, their television, and their friends and the world that they're, and we have your Sunday school lessons are designed strictly and directly for them, but then we play with them all afternoon and we build a bridge. And he says, the combination of being out of their norm, prayed up, you know. But anyway, so back to, I don't want to give away my year of Sunday school either. So I always promote the, church camps in the summer strongly, but how can I sharpen the Sunday school lessons that will give them independent maturity so when they're on off into high school and college that they're solid for the Lord?
I think you really have to address the areas in which the world is designed to undermine the faith of Christians and especially teenagers. In other words, evolution is something that every Christian, I believe every Christian kid from probably fourth or fifth grade above needs to know how to accurately defend themselves against the lie of evolution. It is such a crock of baloney. And that's being very kind to baloney, by the way, because there's no factual evidence for it. There's no transitory or transitional life forms, living or fossilized. These are real problems. And we think we found the tooth of the Piltdown man. Oh, and they build a whole, you know, only to find out it was a tooth from an extinct pig. When you start really looking at this whole crazy thing that they've got going, talk about a scam. I mean this is probably one of the biggest dupes of the world today is the lie of evolution, because there's no transitory transitional life forms, living, fossilized, on their way trading up right now. And they think they get all tweaked out when they think they found a missing link. There should be billions and billions of missing links, but they're not there. So this is where they target kids. Well, the Bible says God created, and what's God, and who knows what God is? Just then they can say, well, so what's your solution? Well, we evolved? What's impossible? See, what I'm saying is that if you understand the target that they are shooting at for Christian kids primarily, then you can give them the antidote so they can defend themselves. How do we make stronger Christians? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the Bible says. So if we can give them what they need to defend their faith, again, this is what this program is about. Is to be able to defend our faith when we're under fire. How do we know Mormonism is wrong? How do we know Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong? How do we know that even different ingredients in the Christian faith are wrong? Because we know the Bible. We don't hopscotch through it supporting a church dogma rather than what the truth of God's word is. Well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, the only one he ever had, if you look in the original language. But no, Mormonism teaches that Satan and Jesus are brothers. Friends, that's a damnable heresy. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. You don't even find it in the Book of Mormon. So these are the crazy things, that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses. No, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is God. And this is one of the things that we have to always go back to. And using their New World Version as an example, they've worked extra hard to scrub away every ounce of Jesus's deity. They still didn't get it all. 2013, the Jehovah's Witnesses revised the New World Version. Yeah, the version they use, with 10% less words. I guess it's the New World Version Light. Well, the problem is it's not a light at all. And if we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and there's 10% less words in it, this starts to get extremely scary, especially after they've already changed it. Oh, but friends, that's not all. This is what our kids are getting hit with. And when you can't defend your faith, I want kids to rebel against the wrong. They're good at rebelling. Look at James Dean. But it's rebelling against the wrong thing. And if I can rebel against a school system that is lying, if I can rebel against the political system that's lying, if I can rebel against anything that's being shoved down our throats right now through Hollywood, the LGBT gang, all that, if I can prove what I know, I won't be swayed. Now, let me just share this with you. I was raised in a Christian home. My mom read us the Bible every day, chapters of it, before we went to school. And in summertime, this time of the year, we had longer Bible class. We had about an hour of Bible class where my mom would just read us the Bible. Well, when evolution was posed to me, I was able to defend myself. It never rattled my faith one bit. You always hear, well, you know, I was raised in the church and I fell away. I didn't. I fell away from organized religion when I saw the hypocrisy where they, back in the late 60s, where they were going on about, oh, men having long hair, what a shame, what, it's a sin, you know, and all this kind of junk. But yet hanging on the walls a picture of Jesus with long hair. I'm going, what hypocrisy? It's crazy talk. And then when you realize that it doesn't, the Bible never says it's a sin for a man to have long hair. It says it's a shame. And if I saw some guy with his hair dragging in the dirt, I'd say, man, that's a shame. But it doesn't say it's a sin. And it doesn't keep you out of heaven. But see, this is the problem. So yeah, rebelling against the wrong is a good thing, but you got to know what the good thing is. So the more of God's word, logically, that they can grasp, the better. Jim, I want to be sure to get you Evolution versus God. This is something that all of us always wanted to do in school, where you went on a school campus and you challenged the teachers who were teaching evolution, and you start asking them simple questions like, where are the transitional or transitory life forms? Living or dead? And when they don't have an answer, they start getting angry and they start getting mad because, you see, you caught them in a lie. These are all things that we need to do to present to our kids what the answer is, rather than the lie of the world. And you got to remember, everybody, they get bombarded every day in school all day long for probably 6 to 7 hours a day. The American public gets bombarded with the Colberts and the other Jimmies that are out in the late night talk show, along with the American news media, how bad America is. And all this crazy stuff that we keep hearing, they just keep hitting and hitting and hitting. This is what's wrong with America. These people are all in the tank for a one world order. But Christians are different. At least we should be. Pastors are supposed to be different. Pastors, you're not life coaches. You're there to teach them the entire counsel of God's word. And if you don't, nobody else will. So we need to be about our Father's business, not to just teach people our favorite topics on Sunday morning. Dr. Feel Good, yeah! No, we need to tell them what the Bible says. And oh yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable. But you know what? Better be uncomfortable and repent than stay in your sin and fry. Everybody's got that choice. Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, first thing, Jim, Pastor Mike and I just want to commend you for having a heart for investing in youth, because the statistics are that the vast majority of people who come to a relationship with Jesus come to them between the ages of 4 and 14. So you are right there. That's where the vast majority of a church budget should be spent, on having a healthy children's ministry. I know that a lot of people will spend a lot of money. A lot of churches will spend a lot of money on their high school ministry, and they can do that too if they have extra dough. But put your money there. I 25 years ago, when I was at Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, one of the ministries that I was privileged to oversee was our children's ministry, and we would have 500 or 600 kids, you know, coming through the doors and through the classrooms on a weekend. And it was such a privilege to train other teachers and teach them how to teach children. And I think that, that Mike said some very valuable things: apologetics, apologetics, apologetics. Find some curriculum that teaches Bible apologetics. And then as far as reaching young people, I think it's number one, don't underestimate their ability to understand what you're teaching. You know, even though it was either, Mike, you might know, either Spurgeon or Moody. I think it was Spurgeon who said, put the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kids can reach them. Well, I'll tell you, that as a pastor, that's my goal whenever I am teaching. When Mike or I or one of the other pastors are in a college setting or a university setting, or we're teaching other pastors, yeah, we can teach a little higher, but put the cookies on the bottom shelf, and then have a dialogue. Don't just have a monologue. Have a dialogue. Get their input from them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And most importantly, Jim, talk about application. How does this apply to you and your life? We don't want to just be fat, roly-poly Christians, Mike, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be disciples of the Most High God.
You know, one of the things, Jim, that I did years ago on Sunday night with our church, and a lot of the people were young, I would read a parable that Jesus gave, like the prodigal son. And we read it, and then I just went around and I began to just talk to the kids. Who are you in the story? Well, you always think everybody's the prodigal son. No, not so. I had some kids say, well, I feel like the son that stayed behind, and my younger brother got everything and I didn't get anything. And you would be surprised as they begin to talk. And that begins to tie them together and tie you into them, all these different things. Believe it or not, came to one girl. She was sitting there, and she just looked just terrified. And I said, who are you in the story? And she goes, I'm the pigs.
Wow.
And I went, wow, whoa. I'd never even thought that way. And so I said, would you like to pray and accept Christ as your Savior and have all that past gone? And she said, please. And we prayed. And I mean, it was so amazing, because we take for granted that everybody's the prodigal son. But she felt so worthless, that the prodigal son, when he lost everything, he was eating with the pigs. She identified with them, not with even the humans. And I go, wow, God. So I think, Jim, when we use the terminology in high school, college groups now, family vacation, home, things like that, it has a completely different meaning than it did 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Family vacation is who my mom shacked up with this month. You know, home is just an empty box. I come home, no one's there. I do what I want. This is where the problems are. And so if we can engage people, not just kids, but engage people that, hey, we can talk this stuff through. Jesus is the answer and he'll heal you. And that's what we want to do, is let Jesus be the healer. You know, when the Bible, at communion, and we have the broken bread, people a lot of times don't even know what that bread is for. Peter says, by his stripes, we are healed. And friends, we need to be healed of a lot of stuff. We need to be healed, the ability to love, to be loved, to belong, to have a heart, all these different things. So it isn't just, oh, well, you know, I'm having a little bit of a flu, a little COVID here, I might need a little healing. No, it's that we would be healed mentally, emotionally, physically. And when we disregard what that's really about, when we take communion unworthily, because we don't realize it's the medicinal way that God wants to heal us, Paul says, for this reason, many are sick and dead among you. It's never that we're worthy to have communion. None of us are worthy. But it's the way we view communion, this one thing that Jesus tangibly gave us that we could be healed by. And friends, once I understood that, communion changed everything in my life. The blood, the cup, represents Jesus's blood. The broken bread is our means to be healed. But if I just view this as some kooky thing the church does, let's get this over and let's get on with the big dinner after church, that's taking it unworthily, because you're not understanding what it's for. Jim, I hope that you can just, I'll send you some DVDs. Evolution versus God, great for the kids to watch. If you go to special features, there's another group of movies in there as well. I'll send you A God of Wonders. These are just really good teaching aids that will open discussion. Now, the one really good thing about God of Wonders is that it's in 16 segments. So you could show a couple segments, then have discussion, read some out of the Bible, out of Genesis, how God made everything, then talk about different things. But I think communication for kids is so important. What they're not going to get on their iPads and on their phones and all that kind of stuff. They need real bodies to talk to, because kids have real problems today. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mike, can I give,
sure,
can I
go
give
ahead.
Jim
go ahead.
Just one quick verse? Jim, we have this verse on the entryway to our Kingdom Kids area, our children's ministry. And I just encourage you, pray about it, and maybe the Lord will give you this as a fresh mission statement. It's and you're probably familiar with it. It's Isaiah 54:13. It says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Wouldn't that be great if we can get that in the public
Amen,
schools?
Amen, Jim. Stay in line. We'll get you fixed up, okay?
Thank you both so much.
Jim, God bless you. And keep reaching out to those kids. They need you. They need all of us very bad.
Yeah.
Let's go to David, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Thank you, pastors. Hey, first thing I'd like to say is that that movie that you talked about, Time Changers, I watched it last night, and that was a really heavy movie. But thank you for recommending that. It really, really opened my eyes, and people should watch that. Second thing is that the little packet that you send out, that's really kind and very nice. I mean, the ones that I've received in the past, I've always shared those. So who knows how many souls are getting saved by those packets that you're sending out. So I thank you for that. And my question today is this. So I started going to this new church, and the pastor, he's a pretty awesome pastor. He's blind, but he pretty much knows the whole Bible by heart. But he's a King James only pastor. And so it's kind of caused a little friction between my wife and myself, because, like, he brought up, he thinks in any other Bible, like the New King James was translated by pedophiles or something, some weird stuff like that. And then, you know, like having a Christmas tree is bowing to Baal. And I think he, you know, he used the passages in Jeremiah, and it's, she just doesn't want to go anymore. And so, I mean, is the King James the only really Bible that you should be reading? I mean, is this gentleman too legalistic?
No, I think there's good Bibles out there, New American Standard, but you just got to watch them like you do anything. I like the old King James in that it preserves the, I believe, the closest to the Greek text that we can get. But saying that bowing down, having a Christmas tree in your home is bowing down or something, that's getting into some pretty stiff legalism there. And I would be very careful of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, then they say, well, just having celebrating Christmas at all is of the devil. No, it's a day in which the entire world recognizes Christ was born. Take every advantage to preach the gospel. Paul says, I become all things to all men that I may win some. That didn't mean he lost the innocency of the gospel to share the gospel. He didn't become a drug dealer to minister to drug dealers. But that means he went where they were. And if the world will recognize the 25th of December as a day, a monumentous thing happened in which all of time changed. Man, I'll tell you something. I will use that every opportunity. And I have seen countless hundreds of people over the course of myself being a pastor for over 40 years, hundreds of people getting saved on Easter and on Christmas because it was the only day they went and they became a real believer and they really dug in. But if it wasn't for that special day that the world recognizes, they may have never come to church to hear the gospel. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I think what we have to remember here, David, is that the KJV and the New King James Version, both based on the Textus Receptus, also known as the Received Text, and it is a great translation. I read it. I love it. But it's not the only translation that's out of an accepted text. You know, King James Version, good. New King James Version, good. You know, NASB, fine. It's just even New Living. I love the New Living translation. It just follows the Masoretic text. That's just slightly different. You know, the Septuagint was written about 200 BC in Egypt, and 70 Jewish scholars translating the Old Testament into Koine Greek. It got the Word of God out. And the Masoretic text was compiled by Jewish scholars in about 900 AD. And I believe that most King James versions were compiled right around 1500. I agree with Mike. I love the poetic style, but nobody speaks today in 15th century Elizabethan English. And so the New King James is a great alternative for that. But when it all boils down, I just tell people, read the Bible that makes you fall more in love with Jesus. Read the Bible that moves you to application of the Word of God. Use for studying, use an accepted text like some of the ones that I mentioned, and not necessarily a paraphrase or a dynamic equivalent like the New International Version. But for your study, use an accepted text, and then have other texts that you read alongside it.
Yeah, the Old King James is about the only Bible that you can do an actual word study on. And that's one of the reasons I really appreciate it. So in other words, when you find birds in the Bible, you can go through the King James. And when you find the word bird, you can pretty get an idea of what it's talking about, or communion, or whatever words, where a lot of these new versions take a lot of liberties that I personally don't think they probably should do. But, you know, that's just the way it is, David. You want a church where your wife is going to go. You don't want to build that wall with her. So I just pray and just see what God will do. Okay.
Okay, that's not one other thing. So one of his other things are that causes issues is that he thinks that most modern Christian music, like Casting Crowns, Cutlass, and stuff, is of the devil. And you know, we love worship, we love guitars, we love drums. But, you know, that's just
He's into legalism, and that's not good. And, he's lost, I don't know, he's lost the ability to communicate. And because of particular music style, I don't like It's of the Devil. Well, that's pretty weird. When you realize a lot of the hymnals, a lot of the hymn songs that the church sang up to, 1950, were a lot of them were converted barge songs. And they put Christian lyrics to the barge songs because everybody knew the tune. That's fact. So, no, I think you probably got into some legalism here. And, David, I don't know. Maybe listen to your wife a little bit on this one. So I hope that helps. We're out of time. David, stay online. Send you some books, some DVDs. A little book called Time to Grow is a good thing to look for when you go for a church. Greg, thanks for being on. Please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow.
This ministry, or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.